Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 344. Yes, I know it's been well over a month since I've recorded a podcast, and we're having a snow day today, and I was putting together some stuff for a show, and so I have a co-host. Introduce yourself, co-host.
I am Rhiannon Makeham, and my dad's a geek.
And my daughter's a geek. We've done a lot of movie watching over the last, several weeks. We had a nice Thanksgiving break, and we got some movies in, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about on the show is inspirational speeches. There's one thing that that geeks like, think that when you're into sci-fi, you like all the special effects and spaceships and all that stuff. And that stuff's cool. But what really gets us is a good old-fashioned inspirational speech to try to get people fired up or, for whatever. And it's kind of showing as time goes on that more and more networks are showing sci-fi and genre-related programming because not only do we have, the cool effects and, creatures and aliens and all that stuff, but also you have those great dramatic acting moments as well. And it seems to be permeating all that's on TV. There's so many shows on now that, have either been on and been renewed multiple times or are new and are doing very well. And, we have the Sleepy Hollow, which, has some great moments and is doing pretty well in the ratings. We have like returning favorites like Vampire Diaries, things like that. And, just showing, if you look at the history of television and what has been out there, there's been a lot of really solid shows that have stuck around because of not only good stories, but of the acting.
Before we begin, let's talk about some upcoming DVD releases. On December 10th, we have the Fast and Furious 6, Despicable Me 2, Despicable Me 2 3D, Zombie Night, Futurama Volume 8, the big 25th anniversary special, and Doctor Who 50th anniversary special.
And for December 17th, we have Elysium, Kick-Ass 2, The Lone Ranger, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, the Indiana Jones Blu-ray trilogy sold individually. We also have Justified Season 4, a favorite of mine. Burn Notice, the entire series is going to be available on DVD. Family Guy Volume 12, Psych the Musical. And that seems to be about all we got coming up. And then we have some good stuff coming up closer to Christmas. And then hopefully we'll see what happens over the new year. I think that most of the DVDs out right now are, you kind of got slim pickings, but if you go to the store, there's all kind of nice bundle packs to get for gifts this year. Okay, we're going to get to the meat of the episode. And Rhiannon and I have a couple of things we want to talk about. But the first podcast I want to do, and this is going to be something that's ongoing. I would like to do several shows in this manner. But, like I was talking about speeches, so I have a nice selection here of audio clips that I have called and over different things. And I know a lot of people that are part of the Google group and the email list have really helped to contribute to this. I mean, a lot of, Matt went above and beyond and really sent me a lot of different links. But I have several things that I wanted to do, and then a couple things that some people have sent my way. And I know that there were several others out there that will be included in future shows, some of the stuff that I've never really seen all the way through, which helps me because taking these speeches out of context is kind of what you're trying to do here. So we're going to rate these on a couple different factors. Okay, our criteria, we have three criteria here. And people can feel free to email me if they think I should add more, but we're trying to keep it simple. Now, for those of you who don't understand how the rating system works here at Sci-Fi Dig, it's 1 to 5 digger shovels. Okay, it's the way we rate everything, including movies. All right. Mm-hmm. 1 means I would not, it did not, it was blah, 2 means, okay, I don't feel as though I wasted my entire time viewing this or taking part of this. But, I would never do it again. It just seems kind of silly. 3 is average, and I enjoyed myself, and you know, things like that. Four was, man, it was really good, and there might have been a few minor holes, but I didn't really, the overall story was so good, or the overall entertainment or whatever was so well done that I will overlook those. I have no problem. I just really enjoyed myself. Whether there was an issue with it or not, I personally enjoyed myself. I mean, everything is subjective, you know, depending on what you're doing. Five, of course, is the top of the line. That is the absolute best. Everything was fantastic. You know, you would watch it again. You would do it again. You'd take part of it again, etc. Okay, so we have three criteria here for this. We have, I don't even know if you can see that. The first one is whether or not the message came across. The second one was whether it motivated the people. Now, I'm kind of looking at motivational speeches here. This kind of speech is going to motivate somebody to do something they wouldn't normally do, or do something that obviously is not going to end well for them. So, you know, that can change up over time. But for right now, we're going to keep those two. And then the final one is the overall effectiveness of what was being said. And the reason that these might change a little bit is because as I start expanding through these different speeches, I'm finding that there's more and more things out there that I would like to include, and they're not really motivational speeches. They're just, you know, speeches or just segments, you know, that are being fed to us. Now, as I mentioned several weeks ago, we are working with a new version of GarageBand here, and this is the first time we're doing multiple recordings, multiple mics, and of course, you know, I'm ready to start and the phone's ringing. But so we're going to try, I figured the best way to do this, since Rhiannon actually hasn't seen very many of these or know very much about what's going on, I should be able to drop them right into GarageBand. She can actually watch them in real time and maybe get a first-hand impression.
Good morning.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
That, of course, was from the movie Independence Day, which you have never seen.
Mm-mm.
And so how do you think, how effective do you think that that speech was?
I think that was a pretty effective speech. He seemed to be getting everybody on his side and agreeing with him.
Okay, so the message.
The message.
Like, you're going to rate it 1 to 5.
Probably like a 4.
Yeah, I would give the message a 5. Because I think that they're giving, he's you know, letting people know that, you know, we got to fight, we got to do this, we don't really have a choice. Motivate.
I think it was pretty motivational because he was really getting them, like, on, like, his side, like, really making sure that they knew how he felt and getting them to feel the same way.
Yeah, I think, I'd give the motivation a 5.
Yeah, me too.
And the overall effectiveness?
Probably a 5.
Yeah, so would I. So, I think we're close to being pretty well agreed there, but I think this is, I mean, Independence Day, whether you love or hate the movie, I think everybody can agree that the speech is pretty, gets people pretty well fired up. It's kind of surprising to me, you know, watching these clips. That's the first one that I've really sat down and focused on, you know, by itself. you know, how, as much as I enjoy it, it is much better in a context of the film, because I kind of forgotten about those characters and why I cared about them. And I know that, you know, Independence Day gets a lot of bad press, but I have to say, when I was in the theater watching this film, I don't know what it was, but I was so amped up for this movie. Like, when we got like halfway through, I was like sitting up in the edge of my seat. My wife's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I have no idea why I'm so into this movie, but I have to see what's going to happen next." Anyway, we're going to have another clip here in 1 second. I would tell you what it was, but I got to find it.
Hold your ground! Sons of Gondor! Of Rohan! My brothers!
I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me.
A day may come when the courage of men fails. When we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship.
But it is not this day.
An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that you hold dear on this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West!
Okay, that was Aragorn at the Black Gate, and I'm just going to... Okay, let's go down the line. First of all, everybody needs to know that this has a really special place in my heart. I love this speech. I mean, it gets me all fired up. I just think it's fantastic. So, we're going to go through the criteria in order, though. Okay, the message.
5.
Yeah, me too, 5. I think you did a good job of you know, the message, you know, that they have to fight. And he knows everybody's scared. He's scared too, but they're going to do what they got to do because, well, what else is there, right? In this situation, I think you have people who could run away, right? They might think that they can run and hide somewhere, and maybe Sauron and his armies wouldn't, you know, find them. But the reality is they have reach everywhere. So really, if you're not going to fight, it's not, I mean, you have to. If you don't fight, then, you know, the bad guy is going to win, and it's going to be a terrible place to live. So I think that he did a pretty good job of delivering the message. I mean, obviously, you know, it was short and sweet to the point. Motivation.
I think that that's a 5 because you could see everybody at first really nervous and everybody was raising their swords and getting all ready to fight. So that means you've obviously done something good if you started out scared and now you're ready to fight.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he did a really good job with the motivating. He is... you know, this, that, I think that's like mainly what this speech is, because he's got to get these, not only does he got to motivate them to fight, or, you know, to hold the line there for the most part, but he has to motivate them so that they don't die, they don't give up, that they want to keep on moving forward, because that's the only way they're going to win. I mean, it's a battle. You know that your numbers, you're going to die. People are going to die, you know, and, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. So I think that, like, most of these battle speeches are, you know, definitely motivational speeches. Overall effectiveness?
Definitely a 5. Definitely a 5. Everybody is, at the end of that speech, ready to fight, ready to go, ready to do whatever they have to defend what they have and what they think's right.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic speech and a fantastic bit of writing. And I thought that his delivery on the horse, which is probably really difficult for the actor trying to control the horse while he delivers that, I thought that everything he did worked out perfect.
I think that was really good. I think that for me, though, it wouldn't have made as much sense if I hadn't have seen the movies.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely as good as that is, like trying to watch it out of context. Well, neither one of us can do that now because I've seen the movie several times and you just finished watching the movie.
Yeah.
But the fact that he is doing this in the context of the films when you're watching them, it elevates to a whole new level. As much as the majority of people, everyday people, like the speech from Independence Day, this is my battle speech. This, and of course, we have the one from Braveheart as well, which you haven't seen yet, but we'll see one day. But I really enjoyed it. I think that he does a really good job, and it gets me fired up. And even sitting here now watching it just kind of gives me chills because it just does, like, such a good job on a delivery. Okay, on to the next one.
I'll lead the attack.
What are you talking about?
Fault man. Sir Mandan, you will bear the king's banner.
Men, form up! Men! Men! They say I am half a man. But what does that make the lot of you?
The only way out is through the gates. And there aren't the gates.
There's another way out. I'm going to show you. Come out behind them and fuck them in their asses. Don't fight for your king. And don't fight for his kingdoms. Don't fight for honor. Don't fight for glory. Don't fight for riches, because he won't get any. This is your city Stannis means to sack. That's your gate he's ramming. If he gets in, it will be your houses he burns. Your gold he steals. Your women he will rape. Those are brave men knocking at our door. Let's go kill them.
That was from Game of Thrones, and of course, you know, Rhiannon has never seen that. I've seen it, everything. I've seen the first two seasons anyway. And so, you know, what did you think? You know, you don't really know much about Game of Thrones. It's kind of taken out of context. You know, the one thing that I would say about this particular speech, to me, it doesn't help the speech that, you know, I know that Game of Thrones is a huge hit for HBO and everything, but the production values in that particular scene, not that great, because you're supposed to have these armies and there's like 20 people. I had a hard time kind of wrapping my mind around that it's supposed to be more vast and everything, because I've read the books and I just did not, I wasn't really feeling that. But, you know, with that aside, we're going to focus on the things here, the criteria. So, the first one. Go
ahead. Message. So, all in all, I think it gave a pretty good message. Like, in the beginning, you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if this is really the right way to motivate people. But as it goes on, you're kind of like, okay, they're getting the message and they're getting motivated. So, probably like a 4.
Now, see, that's where I think that I'm going to give the message a 5. Because I think of all the clips that we're going to view, that the message is very clear. There's no subtext. He's basically, you know, he tells them, this is, if you don't stop these guys, they're going to come in and burn your houses down and kill your family and take your money.
Yeah, I like the way he changes it from not just protecting, like the bigger, higher people, to protecting themselves. So it's not so much.
But part of the message, you know, is delivery, too. And seeing how you have not seen it, I could see how you could go 4 or lower, because if you don't really know the character, like, this was a big deal for him to be able to, you know, to lead. So, you know, for me, you know, I'm gonna give the message a 5, because I thought that the message was loud and clear. He was very clear on what they were going to be doing. The second criteria
is the motivation.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably a 5, because in the beginning they're all just kind of standing around, but as they listen to the speech and as they realize what's really going to happen if they don't do anything, they're like, okay, we do have to do something, and they get kind of like ready to do something and really ready.
Yeah, you need to get a little bit closer to your mic. It's not. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. It started out kind of weak, but we found out that, you know, I think that, you know, you don't get much more motivated than saying, look, you're protecting yourself, right? And you're protecting your family, you're not protecting a king or me or anybody else, but you are protecting what is yours. And I think that that's a good motivation to get people to get motivated. And obviously you don't know it yet, but they won the battle. So they were able to, when I say battle, small skirmish, but they won it. So obviously the motivation worked. And the last criteria?
Overall effectiveness is probably a 5, because if you're getting these men to fight when at first they don't want to, then it's effective. And so he got these people really realizing what they needed to do and got them fighting, and so it was very effective.
Yeah, I think so too. And it also occurs to me, is like, we're 3 clips in and everything is coming out very high. So maybe that's a a shout out to all the listeners out there. Maybe you need to find some crappy motivational speeches in science fiction and send them my way so that I can, because, like, you know, obviously the clips that I'm going to find, the things that stick in my mind are going to be, you know, good ones, you know, maybe the best of the best. So it's kind of hard to find something that's not, that's going to be bad. Or maybe we can add more criteria as time goes on. But anyway, we have a couple more left here that, I, again, also very well done, but, you know, we'll see. Cause, like, you know, my ringer here, so to speak, is Rhiannon, because she hasn't seen all of these things. So it's interesting to see, you know, the take she has when she's watching it out of context. So the next clip.
At the end of our time, we have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today, there's not a man nor woman in here that shall stand alone. Not today. Today we face the monsters that are at our door and bring the fight to them. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Okay, that of course was from Pacific Rim, and it's a great little speech there. And you have not seen Pacific Rim, right?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so I will let you lead the way here. Just without going by criteria, just like your thoughts on seeing it.
I really like that one. I think in the beginning, like the way he connected with them emotionally, not so much with like battling.
You got to face the mic
closer. Huh? Okay.
Yeah. I know it's hard. You're trying to look at me, but
I think that like he like made more of an emotional connection in the beginning, which really gets people thinking more, and then he got them like ready to fight towards the end more.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think so.
I think
that, you know, the thing that they got me about this that is that, you know, these are people that have been living with the kaiju. That's the monsters. They have been living with them for so long, attacking and doing whatever, and promises of, you know, that somehow the military or the government would stop this, and they haven't been able to stop this. And, you know, so I when you look at that context of, you know, it's going to take a bit to get these people fired up, because it's kind of like the same old, yeah, we've heard it all before kind of deal. And it also helps that, in this case, the guy speaking has not been a Jaeger pilot for, he's not been it because, well, we don't, not everybody knows that, but because he got cancer from the radioactive fuel, the way they fuel the robots. And so he has not really been a Jaeger pilot. He has been more guiding them, you know, from like the control booth. So I think it kind of helps that he's suited up and he's willing to go into battle too. That kind of gets things going. So anyway, let's do the criteria.
Okay, so message, I'm going to give it a 5. I really liked the message he gave. I liked the way he gave it. And I really like that.
Yeah, I think he did a good job with, you know, the message, which was, you know, we're going to go, we're going to fight. And, you know, this time we finally have a chance to take the fight to them. You know, they know where to hit them, you know, where they're vulnerable, and we're taking the fight to them. So I think the message is pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty. You know, I'm going to give it a 5 as well. Motivation.
Let's see. On this one, I think that the people were motivated, but I think they were kind of like reluctant to show it. Because they didn't seem as excited as in some of the other clips we've seen when people really get, like, ready to fight. So I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think part of that is because you don't just have people going into battle, like a particular, like any of the other battle speeches we've seen where it's been, like, men on the line. You're going to run, you're going to fight, you're going to swing your sword, you're going to shoot your gun or whatever. In this case, you're motivating people who are doing a million different things because you have people piloting the Jaegers, you have people that mechanics for the Jaegers, you have people that have to have communication and give them intelligence, all while everything is going on at one time. So I think that you're dealing with a lot of unknown and a lot of fear. So although I think that the motivation, the people are motivated, I don't think it's like, yeah, you know, let's go and do this, because it's more than just running into battle and swinging your sword and you know, using, you know, muscle memory in order to do what you do every day. I think there's a lot of fear because there's a lot of unknown things here.
Yeah.
So, although I guess the speech does motivate, I think that when you take into account the people, it's probably a 4 rather than a 5. And
overall effectiveness, what do you think?
I think that the overall effectiveness, again, I'm going to give it a 4, actually. As much as I love the speech in context with the film, the more I think about it, the more I think that, you know, with all the different things, like I said before, they have to come together to make this, to pull this plan off, to make this thing work, that, you know, it gets people motivated, gets people working, but it doesn't erase the fear. And I think part of a good motivational speech, a motivational speech is to kind of erase the fear and get people so focused on what they're doing that they don't have room in their mind for anything else. They're just kind of like, you know, really honed in, you know. And I think in this case that with so many different variables, how could you not have doubts and fear?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about, I think I agree with you on the 4 because I really, really did like the message in this and I like the way he delivered it, but it's just with not doing enough almost. I mean, it's all you can do, but these people still are too fearful to be completely motivated and completely excited, like, to fight. They're not excited. Yeah. They're more scared.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think it's like a fear of what they're fighting. I think it's the fear of the unknown because they're doing something they haven't, you know, going into this other territory, knowing that somebody is going to be sacrificed here somehow, that, you know, because they're trying to get a nuclear core in there. And spoilers if you haven't seen Pacific Rim. But, yeah, but so I think, you know, I mean, I enjoyed it. It, you know, it was a good job. It definitely one of the, you know, it was one of the first speeches I thought of when I thought about doing a show like this. Because I love Pacific Rim a lot. I know that some people don't like Pacific Rim, but those people are just crazy, clearly. Because Pacific Rim, for all its flaws, and there's a lot of them, it doesn't change the fact that I absolutely love this movie. I give Pacific Rim the movie a 5. I own it on Blu-ray, and I've already seen it a couple times, and I plan on watching it again. It's just a fantastic, fun movie. I just love it so much. It's just so good. And I can sit here and I can nitpick 8 million things that are wrong with it, but it doesn't take away from my enjoyment at all. So that's why I'm saying that the rating system is very much subjective. It all depends on your mood and who you are and what you like. Anyway, with that, we have a couple more clips.
You son of a bitch.
This really isn't the time.
Okay, I don't know jack about the 24th century, but everybody out there thinks that staying here and fighting the Borg is suicide. They're just afraid to come in here and say it.
The crew is accustomed to following my orders.
They're probably accustomed to your orders making sense.
None of them understand the Borg as I do. No one does. No one can.
What is that supposed to mean?
Six years ago, they assimilated me into their collective. I had their cybernetic devices implanted throughout my body. I was linked to the hive mind. Every trace of individuality erased. I was one of them. So you can imagine, my dear, I have a somewhat unique perspective on the Borg, and I know how to fight them. If you will excuse me, I have work to do.
I am such an idiot. It's so simple. The Borg hurt you, and now you're going to hurt them back.
In my century, we don't succumb to revenge. We have a more evolved sensibility.
Bullshit! I saw the look on your face when you shot those Borg on the holodeck. You were almost enjoying it.
How dare you?
Oh, come on, Captain. You're not the first man to get a thrill from murdering someone.
I see it all the time.
Get out!
Or what? You'll kill me? Like you killed Ensign Lynch?
There was no way to save him.
You didn't even try. Where was your evolved sensibility then?
I don't have time for this.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your little quest. Captain Ahab has to go hunt his whale.
What?
You do have books in the 24th century.
This is not about revenge.
Liar!
This is about saving the future of humanity!
Jean-Luc, blow up the damn ship!
No! No! I will not sacrifice the Enterprise. We've made too many compromises already, too many retreats. Invade our space, and we fall back. They assimilate entire worlds, and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here! This far, no farther! I will make them pay for what they've done!
You broke your little ships. See you around, Ahab.
And he piled upon the whale's white hump the sum of all the rage and hate felt by his whole race. If his chest had been a cannon, would have shot his heart upon it.
What?
Moby Dick?
Actually, I never read it.
Ahab spent years hunting the white whale that crippled him. The quest for vengeance. But in the end, it destroyed him and his ship.
I guess he didn't know when to quit.
Okay, so Rhiannon has never seen this, and so she has some thoughts on it. First of all, you know, what'd you think of the scene overall?
I liked the scene overall. I thought it was a little bit confusing, though, because I haven't seen it and stuff.
Okay, fair enough. So you're rating a speech here. Who are you rating?
Lady?
Yeah, that's who I'm rating here.
Yeah, okay.
Because she's the one who's trying to...
That's what I thought.
She's the one trying to motivate because...
Yeah, she doesn't want him to do the wrong thing.
Yeah, she wants him to blow up the ship and he doesn't want to blow up the ship. And, you know, so they have to go through this whole spiel. Now, you know, this is one of my favorite scenes in Star Trek. Especially it was my favorite scene in that whole movie. But I really enjoy, you know, what they did here. I really understand where Picard's coming from because we've been through his Borg experience and how it has affected him. And because of that, we, you know, the viewer who is familiar understands his hatred, his passion, you know, why he wants to destroy them. And you know, as far as the speech is concerned, I thought she did a pretty good job of making him stop and face his feelings and realize that, you know, he's doing this out of vengeance, you know, and revenge rather than doing the right thing. You know, he doesn't want to give up any more ground, but that, you know, I think he's doing the right thing. So let's just, since you're unfamiliar with the, you know, with the movie itself, let's just go right down to go through the criteria here to rate this.
All right. So what do you think about the message?
I mean, she was able to convey what she wanted to do. I mean, the message was supposed to be to blow up the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of went off track with some personal feelings and some other things. And
I think that changed it a little bit. It didn't make it quite as powerful. Well, it did, but it just took away from it exactly being exactly what she wanted to say.
Right. So I'm going to give the message a 4.
I think I agree with you on that one.
You know,
it was a good message, but it wasn't the best it could have been.
Right. Because emotions got in the way, it kind of got convoluted, which is understandable considering the situation. So, motivation.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, I think a 4, maybe a 5. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm going to say it lies somewhere in a 3 and 4. Some places it was a 4, some places it was a 3. Because
it just really depended on, like, I don't know.
I mean, obviously, it worked, right?
Yeah, because but it just wasn't, like, powerful and, like, it worked right away.
Kind of got off track.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so, you know, I think we're kind of agreeing that although this is a great scene as far as picking this as a bit of speech to try to convince somebody to do something, yes, it was effective, but
it wasn't as good as it could have been, and the emotions that got in the way changed it too much.
So, overall effectiveness.
I mean, she got what she wanted, so it was effective. But true. It wasn't as effective as it could have been.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say, in a different way. Personally, I'm going to say a 4.
That's what I think, because she got what she wanted, but not quickly.
And it was a great scene because we get to see some of Picard. We get to see him stop and take kind of inventory, you know, mental inventory of what he's doing and why he's doing it, you know. And so it really added to what she was trying to do because, you know, he had to take pause and say, wait a minute, you know, what she's saying is right here. You know, I am getting caught up in the revenge factor rather than, you know, the point is to not let the Borg take over the planet. And in order to do that, I have to blow up the ship. But I don't want to blow up the ship because I'm letting my personal issues get in the way, you know. And so I thought that, you know, the scene itself is really good. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if somebody does something wrong to you and, you know, trying to get back at them, you know, does that make you petty or what? You know, I don't know. It all depends on the situation, I guess. But I really
like the scene. Just from not even seeing it, I really could tell that was a good scene just in all the ways.
Yeah, definitely. So we have one more clip, and this is going to be an interesting one.
At 0800 hours, station time, the Romulan Empire formally declared war against the Dominion. They have already struck 15 bases along the Cardassian border. So, this is a huge victory for the good guys. This may even be the turning point of the entire war. There is even a welcome to the fight party tonight in the wardroom. So, I lied. I cheated. I bribed men to cover the crimes of other men. I am an accessory to murder. But the most damning thing of all, I think I can live with it. And if I had to do it all over again, I would. Garrick was right about one thing. A guilty conscience is a small price to pay for the safety of the Alpha Quadrant. So I will learn to live with it. Because I can live with it. I can live with it. Computer, erase that entire personal log.
Okay, so that was completely out of context for you. So let me set it up a little bit so you understand what's happening. There was a lot of political intrigue in Deep Space Nine. It's one of the reasons that I like the show so much. And so obviously he did some things, some unsavory things, in order to means to an end kind of stuff. You know, the things he did, he got the ending he wanted. He was willing to bend the rules because, in his mind, it was the only way to get things done. Mm-hmm. Now, what I like about this particular speech is that, you know, although it's directed at us, he's actually talking to himself, trying to clear his conscience.
Yeah.
And so I'm not quite sure. I mean, I picked this one because of that, because it's not, he's trying to motivate himself. And I mean, I love this scene. I love what he's done here. At some point in time, maybe you'll be able to watch all Deep Space Nine. I don't know if you'll like that particular thing or not. We'll get into some geek talk here shortly about some of the stuff that you've done. And so let's go down the criteria here, and you can tell me what, you know, you thought of the whole thing. Like I said, it's out of context for you, for the most part. And it's kind of hard to, I think, look at a particular speech and not know the characters, but it gives us kind of a fresh look at this. Okay. So the message.
I think that
you can get a little bit closer. I don't
you just
know
told me to get farther
I know,
away.
I don't know what's going on. Your mic was hot, now it's not.
I think that I did like the message. It was interesting. It was different, and I liked that to see something different. I don't know. I guess I liked the way that he said it, because at first when he starts talking about that, you're kind of like, wow, that's not a good thing to do. But then as you realize, if he's doing something bad for the greater good, is it still good?
Right.
And so it kind of gets you, like, it's interesting.
I mean, I would think that the message would have to rate a 5, because he got his point across of everything that, you know, he was talking about. So the message itself, yeah, you kind of have to give that a 5. Don't worry, she's fine.
Okay.
We have the dog visiting us down here, and she likes to be into everything, so it's kind of a distraction to one of us. The motivation, considering he's trying to
motivate himself,
right?
Like, I mean, I really think he did a good job of helping himself to clear his conscience. Kind of like realizes at the end, okay, you know, I'm gonna have to accept this one way or another. So.
Yeah, and although I would think the motivation, you know, for me probably rates around a 4. I don't actually know that, you know, he's still trying to convince himself there in the end. He's like, I can live with it.
Yeah.
And then he says it again because he's just trying to convince himself, yeah, I can live with it. Now, you know, can he? I don't know. Does he have to? Yes, he doesn't have a choice now. He's already made his choices. He already did what he had to do. So I really like that part, but I'm going to say, to me, it's about a 4 because of the fact that, you know.
He's still kind of struggling.
Unsure. Yeah. Overall effectiveness,
3-4.
Yeah. I don't know, because it kind of remains to be seen, right?
Yeah.
We're not sure. I mean, he, you know, you don't get to see, you know, like some of the other things, you know, the outcome, but in this case, you know, the other things are like physical feats.
Yeah. You're trying something to, you have to overcome yourself,
right?
Mentally. And that's, you don't really know.
Yeah. So that's why the effectiveness, I think, is a very hard thing to rate, because, well, I can't give any spoilers because you're here and I want you to watch the show at some point in time. But, you know, we don't get to see Sisko through it until he's like 100 years old to see if he was able to live with it. You know, we know that, you know, it made the station a better place. It made, you know, it strengthened the Federation in a lot of ways. But whether or not he thought about this every single day of his life or not, we just don't know that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the overall effectiveness, you know, since he's trying to motivate himself, I'm not sure of the overall effectiveness of this particular message where he's just trying to kind of clear his conscience a bit. I'm going to rate it a 4 because I think that, you know, as us looking at it, yeah, it seems as though he's setting the record straight of what went on.
Yeah, I enjoyed the message and I liked the way he said it. It's just, it is hard to decide because you don't see later on. You don't know.
Right. So, yeah. So I can get behind that, you know. Anyway. You know, I had a lot of fun doing this, and, you know, Rhiannon and I looked around for some of the movies that she has seen and liked, you know, like some of the Hunger Games stuff and
nobody gives speeches.
Yeah. And Mortal Instruments and things. They got to try to find something that was a little drawn out, but I know that I asked the Google group for help and I got plenty of help there. And those of you that didn't know what I was looking for, I still have, several more links that I haven't used yet and I will use. But if anybody comes across anything else that they want to do, let me know. One of the speeches that I wanted to rate and include in this, but I couldn't, and it's part of it's the way that it's kind of put together, is the last episode of Buffy where she's talking about the Chosen and all the girls getting the power at one time. I couldn't find a good version of that, so I think I'm going to end up having to pull the audio and putting it together myself at some point in time. But if you come across anything else, feel free to email the links to me. And because I found that my new thing is the easiest thing to do is to pull this audio from YouTube. And as long as there's a good copy, it doesn't matter about the video quality. As long as the audio sounds good, I'm able to just pull it that way as well. So, and if I don't have a co-host, then I don't have to even have to watch the video again. You know, in this case, you know, I was lucky that Rhiannon was home and she was able to watch the video, and we kind of get a fresh perspective on, you know, how she thought, even because most of these are out of context for her. You know,
yeah.
She's not real sure of them. So, but anyway, nice little podcast, 45 minutes, you know, or so.
Yeah.
So, do you got anything else you want to add?
I don't know. I really enjoyed this one. I want to do it again. And we have some movies to talk about soon.
To the microphone.
We're not going to do them this one. Are we going to do them the next one?
Yeah.
Movies? Yeah.
We'll
so we've watched a lot of movies lately.
So we'll put all that together and get it out there. But as always, if you need to reach me, scifidig@gmail.com. You can go to scifidig.com, and there's a million links on there. There's a Facebook group that you can join.
And anytime I beat my dad at anything, I'll go ahead and brag on there for all you to see. Okay. He's a loser.
And every day that I beat my daughter, I'll brag on there. And anyhow.
Like magic.
With my hands. with a stick. A wet noodle. Something. Also, there's a Google group. I'm on Google Plus, Twitter, all that stuff. You know, it seems as though, as much as I love to hate Facebook, it seems as though that I get more feedback and more interaction on Facebook than I do anywhere else. So, but, you know, we can cross-post or whatever. Anyway, that is the show. Yep. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig podcast.
This is Rhiannon. Okay, then.
Oh, you want to do it again? Okay. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig podcast.
This is Rhiannon.
Over and out. You didn't do it.
No, I just didn't want you to cut me off.
Okay. Try it again. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig podcast.
This is Rhiannon.
Over and out.